Father, we come again to Thee. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're reading from verse 22 down to the end of the chapter. A very, very well-known passage, but Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. We have here the Lord Jesus Christ in this great Sermon on the Mount. And if you just turn over the previous page, chapter 6 tells us there in chapter 6 to be careful in verse 16 about hypocrisy and hypocrites. When I was a lot younger, I was going to say when I was small, but I never really grew big. When I was a lot younger, I used to look at many in the churches and say, well, they're hypocrites. And I'm sorry to say they're not all dead and gone yet. There's still occasionally one or two to be found. And here we have the Lord, and he's speaking about hypocrisy. And he goes on in chapter 6 and verse 24, and he says, no man can serve two masters. He speaks of two masters. You'll either love the Lord, or you'll love the devil. You'll either love the world, or you'll love the things that are spiritual. Now when he says that, he means your desires, your love. He goes on a little further down in chapter 6 and verse 33. And he advises them there, look, get your priorities sorted out. There's two masters, begin to serve one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You say, but if I seek the Lord, what about all the worldly things? He says, they'll all be added to you according to God's perfect plan and according to his will. He moves on into chapter 7 and he speaks there of two gates and two roads. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in that straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be in that find it. Two entrances. Two pathways, two roadways. One's broad, one's the narrow. Missionary was in Africa one time, and she was trying to explain this about the broad and narrow road. And she wondered if she had got it explained right, and she asked one of the boys, do you understand? He says, yes, ma'am, I know. When I go down the big path, I can carry lots on my back with me. And when I go down the little narrow path to go hunting, I can carry so little. And wasn't that true? How many there are tonight and they're going down the broad road and they're carrying so much excess baggage, we call it, so much they're carrying and they don't really need it. And the broad road leads to destruction. And there's the two gates, there's the two paths, there's the two roadways. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, that you be not judged. He's explaining here how we're inclined to judge others, what road they're on. We're inclined to judge others what gate they've gone through. We're inclined to judge others which masters they serve. But he says to judge ourselves. Verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? He said, you're running about checking little things in other people's lives and you're not checking out your own life. Oh, for many years I did that. He goes on in chapter 7, down toward the end of it, to speak of two trees. The good tree, verse 17, and the corrupt tree. How do you know a tree? You know it by its fruit. The roots and the fruit go together. If it's an apple tree, You don't go out and pick plums off it. You don't. If it's a plum tree, you don't pick pears off it. You pick according to the nature of the tree. And if a man or a woman or a boy or girl is saved, then there'll be the fruit of holiness and righteousness. If a person is not saved, they can be a hypocrite, but the actual fruit of their lives will be sinfulness and worldliness. It talks about two people. If you turn down to chapter 7 in the verse 23 we read together, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that work iniquity. There's those that the Lord knows, and there's those that the Lord does not know. There's those that have departed from iniquity and come to the Lord as their Savior, and there's those who profess but don't possess. There's those, and they speak about, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. Lord, we have done many wonderful works in thy name. We have cast out devils or demons in thy name. And the Lord says, look, I never knew you. They were never truly saved. And then the Lord closes his great sermon with this tremendous illustration of building two houses. It's amazing, you know, when you come to read the Bible just in the plain, simple language, how simple the Lord makes it. He makes it simple for simple folk to understand. How many preachers, and they make it so complicated, don't they? Oh, to get the simplest, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's closing off the sermon, and what a wonderful preacher he must have been. And he finishes the sermon with an illustration that they can understand. Two houses. Two builders, that's the first thing. It says there that there was two men, and they wanted to build a house each. Now, there's no harm with that, sure there's not. I remember talking to a man lately, and I said, you've got the house. Well, I said, really, you've got the cage, you better go and look and get a bird for it. He had got the house, but he didn't have a wife. He had got the cart before the horse, but he's got one, and we helped him get her, and we're married, and they're happy ever after. But you know, here we have two men, and they want a house. Why do they want a house? They want a house that they can go with their wife and family and live in comfort. When the rains come in the wintertime, when the storms come, they'll be safe. They can sit in there in comfort. You and I, our lives are like little houses, aren't they? We're building a life. Yes, we want to build it. Well, there'll be storms come. There'll be days of trials come. There'll be days of testing come. There'll be illnesses. There'll be tragedies. There'll be problems. The devil, he's out to attack us somewhere or other. Maybe financially. It may be from friends. It may be in health. It may be wealth. We're not sure what the attack may be, but oh, how he comes. And we like to shelter ourselves as best we can. Both of these men are determined to obtain a house and to obtain the best. If you go around some of the young people, you say, well, what do you want in life? Oh, I want the best in life. If you ask some of the older people, what do you want in death? Oh, I want to die brave and comfortably. We want the best in life, we want the best in death, and if the truth's told, we want the best in eternity as well. We want heaven. At the end of the journey, we want to be with Christ, which is far better. And we want to be safe. But sadly, I believe many fail. Many fail with the best in life, many fail with the best in death. Many miss it, and many miss the best in eternity. Both of these men are skilled. They don't go for lessons in building. I'd probably have to go and get lessons and learn how to build a house, but they knew how to do it. They had planned it. My daughter built, or her husband and her built a house lately, and they got the floors in this week. And she had to get her daddy to help her sometimes. Daddy, would you do a wee message for me? But you know, how did it start? Started with the plans. Way back some weeks and months ago, we sat down with the plans in the house, and we said, you want to build a house? I said, well, what size is the bedrooms going to be? I don't know. Well, you better find out. Oh, just leave it to the architect. I said, don't you bother. Did you ever meet the architects before? I said, they'll give you anything to keep you quiet. So she went round the house and she measured one bedroom and she came down with a measure and she says, that's a nice bedroom. And I went round with her and we measured the bathroom and we measured the toilets and we measured the kitchen, we measured the sitting rooms. I don't like that sitting room, it's too big that way and it's too wee that way. And we got the plans and we sat down and we put it all together. And she says, that's great, I'll go and see the architect now. And here's two men, and they seem to have the plans in their houses, how many bedrooms they wanted, how many rooms they wanted. They wanted to build it in brick or finish it in plaster, and what type of slates they want, and all the details. And they have it all planned out. They know how many blocks, the wood, everything. Oh, friend, you and I are building too. Some of us are getting older. And as we look down the life we have lived, there's wee bits of building, if we had the chance to do it again, we would change them, wouldn't we? We sure would. There's things we'd love to change, but we can't. You ever go into someone's new house, and they're just all new, and you go in and they say, oh, you know, we made one awful mistake. That door shouldn't have been there, you know. You say, oh, right. Or maybe you go into the other room and they say, do you see that window there? Now, if we had had that round a wee bit, we had had a nice view of... They see the mistakes they've made. Friend, you and I have made mistakes in building. We've made our mistakes in lives, but here's these two men and they're going to build. Some of us didn't get the foundation right, did we? I remember going to Sunday school and hearing about salvation, and I said, no, I don't want that type of foundation. I want to build my own foundation. I want to build my own life. It was only after a few years when you saw what you were building and playing with was falling apart. And we got down on our knees and said, oh, God, save me. Oh, God, we're making a mess of this life. Take it out of our hands. Both of these men were intending to finish, and we read that both of them did finish their houses. To the ordinary eye, many people didn't see the difference in the two houses. To the ordinary eye, you come into church tonight, I don't know who's saved, who's not saved. The person beside you don't know who's saved and not saved. We can't divide the corn from the chaff. We can't divide the saved and the unsaved, but the Lord's eye is upon the building. You ever see the builder's building and they say, oh, we'll skip that bit there. Nobody'll notice. Put a taste of clay up round those foundations and it'll never be seen. Put a taste of plaster in those cracks. But God sees. And here they begin to build their two houses, the two builders, and they begin to build the two houses, and they pick their sites. Now, picking a site is something very important. Should you put the house north, south, east, west? Will you look out the kitchen window more than you look out the bedroom window? Will you? Well, most of you women, you like to look out the kitchen window occasionally. The poor men, they just like to look in the sitting room, up at the ceiling. That's the way they like to look up there. But you know, we get our plans and we set them up and... Well, when you go to... Remember when we were in Newry, we built a nice new church and we had our plans and all set up. And we went down to the Greenfield site and we decided to mark out roughly the peg it out according to the plan. And when we pegged it out according to the plan, it wasn't right. One of the men says, we better turn it around a wee bit. So that's the way we did. And I don't think anybody ever noticed it was turned. Still not according to the plan. Plan was looking into the shuch, if you know what a shuch is. Some people don't know that. But it was looking into the drain. And we turned it round and it just that wee bit did the trick. And here's two men and they're going to build two houses. And they get the plans and they get the sites. One man, he says, I'm going to have a site up on that hill. There's a great piece of rock up there. I'm going to build up there. The other man says, well, you can build up there, but I'm going down to the beach. Oh, he says, wait a minute. Just to waken up every morning to hear the rolling sea would be beautiful. I'm going down to the sand dunes down there, and I'm going to build in there. The other man says, well, I tell you the truth, I just really want to be up on the hill. I'm not really so keen on the sea. And they begin to build. And one person builds a lot quicker than the other. Which one does it? The man at the seaside. My, he goes along and he gets the digger in and he gives a few scrapes here and there and he levels the site. It's easy level. He scrapes the bits of sods to the one side and he digs his foundations. He marks it out. He pegs it. He digs it out. He digs the foundations in the sand. That's easy done. And before long, the lorry pours the concrete in and the subfloors are down and it's just wonderful. Poor old man, he goes up the hill and he scrapes the grass and the soil off it. And here he's got rock. And he looks at the foundation as he starts to dig and there's a big stone there. I have to get that out of the road before I can put the foundation in. So he gets in the hammer and he beats and he works and he sweats. Comes down the road and he sees the other man. He's going on so quickly. He goes back up the next day and he beats away and he gets one big stone removed and he starts digging a little further. Here's another one. And he works away and he sweats away and he toils away. He's getting the foundations right. Do you know what that's like, friend? Do you ever see someone and they come to the meeting and they hear this singing and they're emotionally moved and they say, oh, I'll have Jesus as my Savior. I'll take him tonight. That's wonderful. And they go out through the door, and it's not very long till they seem to spiritually grow and grow and grow and grow, and it's not very long till they get into the pulpit if they could get in. And there's the other young lad, he comes along, and he comes into church, and he feels that he's sinful. And he remembers a sin that he committed, and it's big, and it's heinous to him, and it's sad, and it's troubling him. And he spends days and weeks dealing with it. I was in a house the other night with a young man. And he says, you know, when I got saved, Morris, he says, I made out a list of things that I had to put right. And he laughed. He says, I haven't them all put right yet. But I'm getting there. What's he doing? He's digging the foundation. Whatever sin that may be, friend, it has to be dealt with. Yeah. Some of those sins that were committed and covered up before you can know the real blessing of God's salvation, they'll have to be dealt with, brought out, dug out, exposed to the blood of Christ and forgiveness. I tell you one thing. It's one thing to get forgiveness from the Lord, and it's another thing to get forgiveness from yourself. If you don't understand that, ask me. It's one thing to get forgiveness from the Lord, but it's a hard, hard thing to forgive yourself. And here's this poor man, and he's digging away at the foundations, and eventually all the sweat, all the movement, weeks. Oh, friend, how many... And it used to be years ago, they were under conviction of sin for years before they got saved. Years. Times of revival. Go up to the Isle of Lewis and these places, and there they were. They wouldn't eat even for days. They couldn't sleep for days because of conviction of sin. Today, you nod your head, wave your hand, and you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven. No, friend, sins must be forgiven. Eventually, this man... Oh, yes, they said he's old-fashioned. There he goes up the hill today again. There he goes to dig more at the foundations. Would somebody go and tell him to put a bit of concrete down and build a house? No, friend. He may be old-fashioned, but he knows what he's about. Would you stop sighing and crying? Friend, don't stop sighing and crying until you have it from your heart. Until you know the joy of sins forgiven. Until you know that your anchor will hold. Until you know that your foundation is sure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a man And he was in a church, I'll not name the denomination, but it was a very lively church compared to what we would have been in. But he took very bad cancer. Diagnosed that he hadn't long to live. And he sent for his brother. His brother came in and he looked at him and he started to cry. He says, "What are you crying about, Davy?" He says, "Well, I want to tell you," he says, "I've got cancer and I'm dying. But," he says, "I'm going to tell you worse than that. I never was saved." He says, "What?" He says, "You've preached." He says, "I know I preached." He says, "You used to have prayer meetings in your house." "Yeah. There's a number of years ago. I know that," he says. But he says, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm like the piece of scripture that says, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful works." And he says, "I don't know the Lord as my Savior." That man that was with him, he says, "I'll be back in a couple of minutes." He got into the car. He went down the road to the Reverend Stanley Barnes. He says, "Mr. Barnes, I've got a handful to deal with, and I need your help. Come with me." The two men went back to the bedside, and Davy trusted the Lord. And I was in the home the night he died. He died rejoicing. Found that the foundation hadn't been right. Who wants to examine the foundation? I'd rather judge somebody else's life, wouldn't I? I'd rather judge some other person's life than judge my own life. Oh, to examine our foundations, to know that I'm saved or I'm not saved, to know that I'm right or I'm wrong. How can I remove the sins by coming to Jesus Christ? That man down at the beach, my head, his foundations covered up in no time at all. Yeah. Building control, they knew nothing about it. Oh, friend, don't be the hypocrite any longer. Remember years ago outside Hillsborough where we lived, there was a man built a house and something went wrong with the foundations and it all started to go a wee bit off. And instead of the windowsills being horizontal, they were up and down. And instead of eventually the roof, it started to bow. And the, you know something? People from all over practically Northern Ireland drove to see that house. They do the same with a hypocrite, friend. When the cracks begin to appear in my life and in your life, they come from all over to look and say, "Look at that for a Christian. Look at that for a..." But you know what the builder did in that house at Hillsborough? When he saw it getting so bad and he saw all the people coming to see the house, he got a bulldozer and he pulled the whole thing down. Friend, when you and I find that we're not truly saved, and we've built a shambles, we've built a house, and we're not on the right foundation, the only thing we can do is pull it down and start again. Maybe you're depending on a childhood profession. Maybe you're depending on a teenage profession. Maybe you're going to have to pull down and start again. Remember years ago in a meeting, and there was an appeal made, and the Sunday school superintendent got up and came out to the front to get saved. He had the courage to pull it down and start again. He had the courage to start all over again and rebuild. Oh, can you see this? Can you see the builder down at the sand? He's building. He's got the floors in. He's getting the first row of block on. He gets the second row and the third row. He gets up to the windowsills. He puts the windowsills in and he builds on up and he gets the first story built. And he puts in the flooring, he put in the concrete floors. He wants to do a good job. Ah, but the concrete floors are pretty heavy. He gets up towards the end of the first gable and he notices a wee crack. And he slips down and he fills it with a taste of plaster. You see, what I'm trying to say is, the man that's building on the sand knows it's wrong. He sees a little crack here and he sees a little crack there. And he gets the roof put on and he goes in for a look round and there's another crack over in that gable. So he takes it and he fills it in. And he's hiding the cracks that are appearing. The hypocrite has to do that. The boy or girl or man or woman who's living an empty profession, the cracks appear. Or they join the church, it's easy. They're voted into some position of office. Maybe into some position. They're maybe visiting someone sick and they say, would you pray? And the cracks appear that night because they don't really know what to pray. The faults in the foundations. Their appearance is going to have to be pulled down. What do they need? They need to begin again. They need to learn by their mistake. They need, first of all, a true repentance of sin. A knowledge of sin, repentance of sin, a sense of sin, a hatred for sin, a sickness for sin. Oh, we live in a day and age when many Christians, they go as close to sin as they can possibly get. A hatred for sin. You know what they need next? They need a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet some people and they've got a faith in the Free Presbyterian Church plus Christ. They've got a faith in the politics plus Christ. But real saving faith is in Christ alone, friend. In Christ alone. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. I was in the city hospital on Friday afternoon. Friday night, it was late on. The man in the bed in Little Ward, and my dad was saying, you know, he's dying, he's on his way out. One of the ladies that was sitting with him, she got up and she got him a wee drink and tidied him up in the bed, and she says, night night, Pat, I'll see you in the morning. The other lady says, I'll stay a wee while longer. Ah, but friend, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I'll never leave thee. Never. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Can you grasp a grasp of this? Oh, to know Christ, a real sense of sin, a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus and my reputation. It's Jesus alone. A grasp of the Word of God. Oh, man, the living Word of God is bread to our nourishment. It's water to the thirsty. And when you get a true sense of sin and a hatred for sin and a faith in Christ and you begin to read the Word of God, what happens? You begin to produce the fruit of holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Oh, saved. When? From sin. It's not saved and staying in sin. Oh, saved from sin. Oh, get these steps. See your sin. Repent of sin. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Get to the Word of God and you find the holiness of life coming out. You see these two houses? They had two builders, they had two houses, but they had a great test coming. They got the houses built, they got them finished. One man down at the beach, he sees an odd crack appearing, so he has a little bag of cement and some sand out in the garage. And every now and then he covers up the cracks. He doesn't even let the wife see the cracks. That's how much a hypocrite can cover it up. The other man, he's up on the hill and he says, he just gets the house finished before the rain comes on. But he's in. And I can see, how proud some of the men get about their houses. I had to watch, there's builders here tonight. What about this lovely little house? Isn't that lovely? And I can see them showing their wives round and they're so pleased. But one man has a doubt in his head. The other man on the hill hasn't. Oh, he says, the hardest bit of this house was the foundations. He says, I managed a sore finger I got digging them foundations out. It took so long. and the rain came. Tells us there the rains came. The rain descended, the floods came. The rains come down from above, the floods came up from below. The winds blew, the mysterious treatment. Heaven, hell, everything seems to attack this life. Mysterious trials. Job said, the thing that I feared has happened to me. Job didn't want to lose his wealth. He didn't want to lose all the camels and the sheep and the oxen. He didn't want to lose his children. He didn't want to lose his health either. But he was tested in every point. Oh, can you see the test? Remember reading Pilgrim's Progress, Pliable and Christian? And Pliable says to Christian, you've been telling me about heaven. Let's mend our pace and hurry home towards heaven. And then they fell into the slough of despond, and it was messy, it was smelly, it was dirty. And old Pilgrim says, I'm heading on. And Pilgrim, it tells us, got out nearer heaven. Lovely, isn't that? While Pliable got out nearer the city of destruction that he left. And he says, Christian, if that's the journey we have to take, I'm going home to where I came from. Christian says, I don't care how tough it is, I'm going on. Friend, the tests will come. Oh, what are the results of these tests? The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. It beat upon the house on the hill. It beat upon the house down at the seaside. Friend, the test will come for you and I. Oh, you say, Mr. Baxter, I don't know what you're talking about. Did you know that we have had a wonderful time? Have you? Have you? Oh, yes, I was brought up and we have had a great time and I married the best man you could ever meet. And well, you haven't had any problems yet. Well, let me tell you, it's not long till we'll be here. Remember going to a door one day and I rapped the door. And the lady opened it and she says, oh, Morris, come in. She started to cry. She says, we've had 20 years, 27 years. We've been so happily married. We've a home, we've our car, we've had our holidays. Why should this happen? I know another woman and she comes up to visit us quite often. And I remember standing at the side of the coffin with her little girl of about, I think she was 12 or 13. And she said, I understand why I lost the baby. I understand why I lost my husband. I understand a lot of things, but I don't understand why my little Emma's dead and taken from me. The wind was blowing, friend. If I took you down into the hospital tonight, there's some good, godly Christian people, and I could take you to one man, and he loves the Savior. Got bad news this week. The wind's blowing, the storm's on. I wonder when the storm comes, will your foundations hold? I ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember the time when you trusted Christ as your Savior? The big storm came and one house fell. One house fell. The foolish man which built this house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The last enemy that you and I have to face is death. Solemn that. Solemn. The last enemy is death. The last enemy is not a bankruptcy. It's not just a problem in the home. The last enemy that you and I face personally is death. The big storm. That poor man that had trouble keeping the house together, it says, and it fell. That rich man in the New Testament, it says he fared sumptuously every day. And it said he died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him as your friend? Do you know Jesus? Have you been building that life on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, it's time to start again. Maybe you had some empty profession years ago and you know it's not working. You know that down deep in your heart there's been cracks. You've filled them up. You've covered them up. Oh, friend, pull it down and start all over again. Start again. Take the Lord Jesus Christ and start a new foundation. Oh, yes, it'll cost. That poor builder in Hillsborough that had to pull the house down and start all over again, it cost a lot, but he won the day, didn't he? Oh, friend, turn to the Savior. Do it tonight. Let's sing a verse and close our firm.